Well, for today, I thought I would just maybe give you a bit of reading and commentary from Abbot Dom Guéranger. You may have heard about him. He was a very important person in the 19th century. He was the French priest, and at the time, in France, after the French Revolution, most of the religious orders had been just wiped out. And therefore, in the early 1800s, there was slowly a restoration of the religious life in France. And the Dominicans were restored, the Franciscans were restored, and so forth and so on. But Dom Guéranger is famous because he restored the Benedictines. And he founded a very famous monastery. Well, it became very famous. It was Solesmes. Solesmes was in the Sarthe area of France, and it became so famous. Why? Because it restored Gregorian chant, and Pope St. Pius X used the tremendous works of the monks of Solesmes to be able to restore chant throughout the whole church, thanks to the work of Abbot Dom Guéranger. He was also instrumental in helping the Pope. You see, the Pope himself, twice, for a very important definition, an ex cathedra definition. The first one, you see, was in 1854 for the Immaculate Conception. He's the one who wrote a whole little book and sent it to Pope Pius IX to be able to help him to define the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And the second time, it was for the Council Vatican I. Was still Pius IX. It was for the dogma of papal infallibility, and he also wrote a book and sent him, and that was used to define those two very important dogmas in the 19th century. So he was quite a great man, one of the greatest men of the 19th century as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, and he wrote one of his books. It's called The Liturgical Year. You can still get it. There's several publishing houses that have reprinted it in the past few years, so you can still buy it. But it's a gold mine, because it's all the feast days of the year are explained with such a wealth, you see, of doctrine, a wealth of piety, of it's just wonderful, and used to be sort of the standard book in all households. Not very long ago, every household, you see, had one, and people. The father used to read on Sunday. If you read the life of the family of St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, you can therefore see that Monsieur Martin used to read to his daughters this book. And you can see that it did bear a lot of fruit, because all five daughters, you see, became nuns, and one of them is a canonized saint, and the four others, you see, were very holy sisters. So, if you have the book, I encourage you to read it. If you don't have the book, go ahead and buy it, because it's such an excellent book and so wonderful. So, I thought I would just read you some excerpts from the Feast of the Circumcision. Just about the Gospel. He explains very well what happens at the ceremony of the circumcision. The child is now circumcised. He is now not only a member of the human race, but he's made today a member of the chosen people. That was the standard ceremony for the little Israelites, to become a member of the people. It was like a mark on their body that was making them officially member of the Hebrews. He subjects himself to this painful ceremony, to this symbol of one devoted to the divine service, in order that he may fulfill all justice. And also at the same time, he receives the name of Jesus, which means Savior. It's a whole program, of course. Why did our Lord come? Is to become our Savior. So his whole name even explains his mission. He is to save us by his blood, such is the divine appointment, and he has bowed down his will to it. The incarnate Word is upon the earth in order to offer a sacrifice, and the sacrifice has begun today. The first shedding of the blood of the man God was sufficient to the fullness of his sacrifice. As you know, even a few drops of the blood of Jesus, those drops were of infinite value because of the infinite worthiness, the infinite dignity of the divine person. Therefore, just a few drops were enough to redeem thousands of worlds. But he's come to win the heart of the sinner. And that heart is so hard, our heart is so hard, that all the streams of that most precious blood which flow from the cross on Calvary will scarcely make it yield. So the drops that were shed today would have been enough to satisfy the justice of the eternal Father, yes, but not to cure man's miseries. And the babe's heart would not be satisfied to leave us uncured. He came for man's sake, and his love for man will go to what looks like excesses. He will carry out the whole meaning of his dear name. He will be our Jesus, our Savior. So, in just a few words, Dom Guéranger explains us, you see, that the motive of the incarnation is the redemption. And here we can see our Lord, already on the 8 days after his birth, he's already living to the fullest, you see, his mission of being our Savior, because he's shedding his blood, and therefore he's starting already to move our hearts, because he does not need to shed this blood, he's innocent, but he does it to be able to win our heart. And then the other excerpt I would like to read is about the Our Lady. It's on the same day, because that's today is a sort of a combined feast day in the church. It's the feast of the circumcision, and also is the feast of the motherhood of Our Lady, the divine motherhood. So many of the antiphons of the liturgy refer to Our Lady as the Mother of God, and this beautiful text I don't have time to read the whole book, you see, because it's just only one book for Christmas, but there's like 17 books for the whole year. But here he explains the mystery of the Mass of today. So it is a circumcision, and also the fact that our Lord has been given to us through Our Lady. She is the Mother of God. This mystery, says, overpowers our mind. What were the feelings of such a mother towards such a son? The child she folds in her arms and presses to her immaculate heart is the fruit of her virginal womb, and she loves him as her own. She loves him because she is his mother, and the mother loves her little child as herself, say, more even than herself. But when she thinks upon the infinite majesty of him who has thus given himself to her to be the object of her love and her fond caresses, she trembles in her humility, and her soul has to turn in order to bear up against the overwhelming truth to the other thought of the 9 months that she held this babe in her womb, and of the filial smile he gave her when her eyes first met his. These two deep-rooted feelings of a creature that adores and of a mother that loves are in Mary's heart. To be Mother of God implies all this. Let's see. To be Mother of God implies at the same time this filial affection for this little baby, as a mother has for her child, but then this great reverence, great adoration of a creature in front of her God. And so that's what makes the mystery and the beauty of the mystery is this, the contrast between the love of the mother and the love of a creature for her God. But they were combined in one beautiful feeling in the heart, in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, a Mother of God, a Mother of God. What a great mystery. As you know, St. Thomas says also that God could create more beautiful worlds called beautiful, more beautiful planets and stars and animals and everything, but he could not create a more beautiful mother, he said. So he explains, you see, also that all the blessings of the incarnation, says Dom Guéranger, for which we are indebted to the love wherewith the divine word loved us, they ought to be referred, though in an inferior degree, to Mary herself. If she be the mother of God, it is because she consented to it. For God vouchsafes not only to ask her consent, but to make the coming of his Son into this world depend upon her giving it. Well, that's a thought when we're at the beginning of this new year. We think about all the many graces we have received throughout the past year. All the holy masses, all the sacraments, all the communions, all the confessions. And maybe some of us received other sacraments, sacrament of marriage, or sacrament of confirmation, and so on. All these are beautiful, great graces we receive from the mercy of God through the incarnation, because the incarnation, then the redemption, the church, the sacraments, it's all one. But all this also comes from Our Lady, because she's the one who gave the consent, her fiat. And without this consent, there would have been no incarnation, no church, no sacraments, nothing. So we think about that we owe all these graces also in an inferior degree. We owe him, of course, to God, to our Lord, but then also to Our Lady, to his mother. And therefore today we have to be very grateful, filled to see with thanksgiving for all what we received in the past year. And also today is the custom on the first of the year to really make good resolutions to come at the feet of the child Jesus in the manger and ask him the grace of generosity, the grace of docility, to serve him, to love him with our whole heart, our whole strength, our whole mind. So we can pray to Our Lady to obtain for us these graces. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.